Blog Talk Radio.
It's the Morning Show.
Okay, you want to rehearse it one time before we go in there?
With award-winning journalist Cheryl Smith.
I'm good. I'm not that good.
Bringing you informative, enlightening, thought-provoking, inspiring, and entertaining talk radio.
Young people going to stand up real quick. Come on. Come on.
Yeah, we gotta stand.
Yo, everybody, come get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Don't be cute with it. You gotta get, come on. Fifth ward. Fourth ward. Come on. Sing it.
I never knew I could be so.
think I want to hit the horn.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to the World According to Drew. I'm your host, Andrew Wiggum, live from Studio A this morning. Oh, man, happy Easter. Happy Easter, happy Easter. We're going to get the Prime Minister. He already hot, but we're going to get him in here real shortly. And just happy to be here with you. It's the fourth day of April, 2021, Easter, better known, also called Pascha, which is Greek and Latin. Resurrection Sunday is a Christian festival of holiday commemorating the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, described by the New Testament as having occurred on the third day after his burial following his crucifixion by the Romans at Calvary, and a culmination of the passion of Jesus preceded by Lent a 40-day period of fasting, prayer, and penance. Most Christians refer to this week before Easter as the Holy Week, which contains the days of Easter Triduum, including the Maundy Tuesday, commemorating Maundy and the Last Supper, as well as Good Friday, commemorating the crucifixion and death of Jesus. In Western Christianity, Eastertide, or Easter season, begins on Easter Sunday, lasts for 7 weeks, coming on the 50th day, Pentecost Sunday. In Eastern Christianity, the Paschal season begins on Pascha and ending coming from the 40th day. Oh, excuse me, this morning. It's going to be one of them mornings, but we're going to make it through. So happy Easter Day to all. And I know Ten Commandments was on, and we've probably seen it, Charleston Heston, a few times, and have to excuse me on that a little bit. But Moses, and it's that time. Everybody's going to get that same sermon just to remind us of how fortunate we are being in this world. Let's bring in the Prime Minister of Oak Cliff, the senior pastor, Hubbard United Methodist Church, none other than Harold Horatio Hubbard. Good morning.
Boy, you something else. I forgot what I came to say, but I want to wish everybody a happy Easter Day.
Oh, we're going to get there. I know you're in your sky blue leisure suit this morning. I know it.
With my white patent leather shoes on and a big old belt buckle, shining and glistening.
It wasn't that much lotion. That was some good old hair grease on your forehead.
Some good old Vaseline. Or some raw crown. Raw crown grease. Or did you get the blue can?
Well, they had them all, red, blue, and green. And then, some of us was in high cotton where they put that blue magic. The green version on it.
Yeah. I ain't mad at you either.
But you know, as we sit back and reflect and laugh, you know, about those days, those were some good days. Life was a lot more simpler, you know, for our generation. And you look forward. I know I ain't missed a Sunday school growing up. And didn't miss any in college. That was the thing. I got to do better. I haven't been in Sunday school. Or should I say Sunday school hadn't seen me in a couple of years. But I need to get up and do that. But it's kind of hard when you're doing the show. So I guess I can say over the years I have not, I guess the last 10, 15 years, have not been able to go to Sunday school. But again, happy Easter to you, my brother. We have an Easter egg hunt today at 3:15 in the annex. Want you to come on and find that golden egg.
Hey, I got a golden egg. But hey, man, you hosting Sunday school, so you know we understand.
That's right. Sound like you're on that road, yeah? I know you.
I'm trying to keep a lot of it down, but I'm a true roving reporter this morning. I will be coming to you with the update after the show, but I'm a true roving reporter.
Well, good. Let me get your mind on some things this morning. Looking at Georgia's Voting Act and the responses from the major League Baseball, MLB, Delta Airlines, some black executives there in that area, the George Floyd trial, and what people are saying, the witnesses, man, what a week. We're going to look at the vaccines, the killing at the Capitol, We didn't hear nothing like this on January 6th, but we'll get on it. And Kazmika Corbett, she was the top scientist to help with the vaccine. And guess what? She got a tan they can't stand. Boy, boy, boy. Got to be more careful. I'm sure if a lot of people found out that a sister was on top of this, hell, they'd pull their arm back. But you know what? We've been helping mankind, everybody. I'm not saying everybody's bad or good. But there are a lot of people that have made differences in this society. And Ms. Corbett is one of them. And she talks about a little RNA, how they attack the virus and stuff. So we'll talk about that. We got a full slate. Plus, hell, we're going to see if you can remember one of your Easter speeches. I'm going to go ahead and say mine, and I'll say it throughout the program. I don't have much to say, but I want to wish y'all a happy Easter day. How'd I do, Mama? Right on stage. Right on stage. I know, I remember. Right on stage. So what was one of your speeches that you can remember?
Hey, I opened up with it. I forgot what I came to say, but I just want to wish everybody a happy Easter day.
And they were so proud. You probably had your little bow tie on.
Hey, at least I didn't say, how I do, Mama.
Oh, I got one better than that. It wasn't me, but I had some friends. Well, you know, when your mama telling you the speech at our church, we a little small church. You know, you had to step up in the pulpit. It was two layers. You had look, I got commencement on my mind this morning. We got that coming up soon. But right there where you do your communion, that's it, communion table, and it's set on the lower half, and then you had to step up to get in the pulpit. So right there where you have the rostrum, you know, the big church with the big old rostrum, they kept all the Bibles and everything underneath it. You had your parents standing or kneeling back there trying to tell the kids what to say. And we had a kid, the mama said, say your name. And the kid, say your name. Repeated everything, Harold. Oh, that was too funny. Say your speech. Say your speech. Whatever she said, he said. And she said, very good, baby. And he said, right at the end, he said, very good, baby. Thank you. So, yeah, some good memories. But, again, understanding what Easter's all about the resurrection. And, you know, I have some friends that are Catholic that have not, since Ash Wednesday, didn't eat any beef or anything on Fridays, had some fish to eat. So want to pray and things of that nature with our brothers and sisters across the whole world on this Easter day. And did you get a chance to see Ten Commandments?
No, I didn't.
Okay. But they got reruns. I know they got reruns. And we'll check out our good friend, Charleston. What is that? Charleston Helton. I don't know. I'm sure we're having trouble with that one this morning. But we'll be all right. Ain't nothing said, nothing done. You know, I want to say this, Al, just I'm sure you know that our mutual friend is in La La Land. Want to wish her the very best out there and safe returns. Seem to be enjoying herself. That's what it's all about, man. I tell you, as we stretch across this globe, friendships, family go a long way. And I would be remiss if I didn't say good morning to my family down in Florida on this beautiful, beautiful Resurrection Day. and see if they can get in a little bit. Try to get them young folks on, Harold. And let's see what they're talking about.
You got to do it. You got to do it.
You know, got to give them a little exposure to get some things done. But again, folks, on Easter, also called Pascha, okay, and Greek and Latin, or Resurrection Day, all symbolizing Easter. So we'll talk about it a little bit. I might even talk about how I'm trying to find out how did the bunny rabbit get into it.
Man, I was trying to wait, man. I was going to ask you, had you ever seen a rabbit lay an egg?
Only at Target, Walmart. But I'm going to look up and try to find out how did the Easter egg come in. I had a family member talking about they didn't have any of that grass, you know, that you put in the Easter basket. I said, if you got a shredder, shred some paper.
Yeah.
Come on, the kids just happy to have it. They ain't worried about the green grass, yellow grass, or whatever. So, and Harold, do you remember? Let's go back. I was hoping we had a few more people talking about how you used to boil them and have that dye get all on the cabinet. Mama mad because it's got to stay there almost a couple of months before she can get the stain out of it, off the countertop. And those were good days. Good days. To this day, I still struggle boiling an egg. You know, I get lucky. I said, well, it's about time. So I used to boil the eggs and let them sit and dye the little peel with vinegar and all that. I remember those. Then they had the little wire gauge that you could get the egg out of the cup. And Mama always had like three or four cups, the old china, that was just for the Easter egg. And that was a lot of fun. And now, Harold, we're using plastic eggs. Not even giving the kids the Easter eggs now, like we used to. Some places.
Yeah, they want them to have candy and money in a mouth.
Yeah. They're not as hungry as we were. They all about the money. All about the money. So we got a lot going on, folks, this morning. And we want to hear from you. Well, we got a couple people on. We got a Mark coming on. Good morning, Mark. Happy Easter. Happy Resurrection Day to you.
Good morning, brothers. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Happy Easter. Happy Resurrection. Anything else? What did the Egyptians do? Because you know this stuff was copied from Egypt.
You know, I know you got this time, but I want to get one, and thank you so much for coming on. There's a lot going on in your hometown, your newly adopted hometown.
Well, 34 years, but yeah.
All right, you got your state legislation that went through about a week or two ago, talking about if you're in line, all these things sound like a modern-day voter suppression to me about having the ID, so limit the ballot box. If you're in line, nobody can bring you any food or anything. Now, that I think it's one thing if you limit the ballot boxes, if you got to stay in line. But again, you're not concerned about the health or welfare of your citizens. And when you threaten people to go to jail. So we're trying to suppress the citizens of Georgia and deter them from even casting their ballot. They realize that power is in numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at this election, the presidential as well as the two Senate seats that were up in the state of Georgia, there was a lot of blue stretching all the way, I guess, from Kennesaw, might be a little beyond Kennesaw, all the way down to Clayton County, the metropolitan, what you all call the metropolitan area of Atlanta. Chapman County, which is Savannah, and pretty much everything else was with it. So the bulk of your population is there. And that's why I feel that this Georgia congressman and governor were turning people right there in northern Georgia or the metropolitan Atlanta area. And now we come out with this. So what are your thoughts about the corporations as well as, and I know you might be at liberty not to say as much because we know you're taking care of your bills this morning. But what do you think about, just tell us a little bit, what was your interpretation of the bill?
Well, the way it was done, the way it was signed, you know, all the people that surrounded him, all the white men that surrounded him and all that stuff, what it represents. Even some lady came out and said that even the picture of the plantation that was behind them was one that her ancestors worked on. I don't know how true that was, but or maybe it resembled one. You know, all these plantations look alike to me, you know. I remember when I first, I don't know if I should say this, but when I first worked at Delton, I went to the home offices. When you go through the gates, you see those trees, on the way those trees are arranged, it reminded me of a plantation. But anyway, the corporations they took their time about it. They waited till after, even though the governor said that they had confronted some of these CEOs, but it was only after the fact that they started raising their voices. But see, the thing is, you know, in a capitalist society, as well as a democracy, money talks. And when you start messing with people's purses, guess what?
Well, they hear what you're talking about then.
Yeah. You stop messing, you know. Oh, you could just say, people could just say, I'm going to stop going to Walmart until they come out and make a statement to these people, you know. Because y'all the one that pay these people. So, you know, I think they're going to make a statement around the country with some of these corporations, you know. Although, especially with the airlines, you know, when all these airlines broke up and all the ones that went into bankruptcy, I think the CEOs of airlines had a handshake agreement to say, look, we're going to handle certain regions. We're going to stay out of each other's backyard because, you know, Delta pulled out of Dallas big time. You remember that?
Correct.
And I'm only saying this to say that, you know, we don't have as much choice in Atlanta to fly like we used to, although Southwest is here, you know. Does that mean Southwest going to get more business? I don't know. We just have to see because, you know, Delta dominates Atlanta. You know, back when I first started working at Delta, it was Delta and Eastern here. But, you know, when Eastern folded, that was it.
Right. And America took over some routes of Eastern. That's how they picked up Miami. Because that was Eastern hub. All the East Coast was, that's why they call it Eastern. But, you know, you made a point, Mark. You were touching on the fact of when they hit the pocket. That's when the people wake up and think about what may have been said or what may have not been said in order to the reaction of things. And then, hold on, I'm looking at the fact that there's a wastewater leak in Central Florida right now. So we'll get to that a little bit. There's a lot of people in that Central Florida region You're talking Tampa Bay all the way to Orlando. So I'll get some more information on that as we go this morning. But go ahead, Mark.
Speaking of Florida, we got to get on Matt Gaetz too, but eventually. But yeah. Because I want to see that man. I just want to see him go to jail, do something.
Yeah. But, you know, it's amazing that the legislation and, you know, there's a sense of pride I always say I have. If I really won't stand for something, you think I'm going to be in a photo that represents something that I do not follow? Or am I used as a token just to balance the picture out? Well, when the governor said something needs to be done, they had a couple of brothers and sisters, very visible in the headshot they gave the governor. And, you know, I thought that was quite interesting how that, but we've seen this movie played out. We've heard that song 1,000 times. Now, how are we going to have one, two? It's just like when the former president, 45-9-1 was having a rally. He's gonna plant two or three brothers and sisters behind him, thinking that they have diversity in their group. you have to make sure sometimes your association is what's gonna pull you down, and you may not even have anything to do with it. But here's the kicker: you're trying to show diversity on something you probably don't even support. And every time I look in the mirror, I got a prime example of what I see or what people have suffered that look like me over the years. How could I forget that? Poll tax. And all this is coming on over 50 years in Selma, Alabama, when we got voting rights. And now you're trying to restrict it. So what are you running? You going to bring your cooler, a rolling barbecue pit? You know we're going to improvise. We're going to improvise. If they can't bring it to us, we're going to bring it with us. If they can't bring the food to us, we're going to have the food to give in line with a rolling barbecue pit. So it's amazing. Again, Georgia Fisher is just pissed off when they move the game. Now, let's look at the impact of any major sporting event. You have people that start at the top. You got the officials that come in, they get all the free tickets. You got the advertisers. Major League Baseball is making money. City of Atlanta would have made tons of money. You would have employed some people who may not have had a regular employment. You would have the industry, meaning the area of Atlanta through the airport and businesses, restaurants, everything would have gained. But by boycotting the city, and don't think it's the first time it happened. Remember when they had the law in Carolina about the restroom that the National Basketball Association, they pulled their all-star game away from Charlotte. The folks got that bathroom issue fixed, didn't they? They say they wasn't going to miss out on nothing else. So it affected, like you said, hit them in the pocket. And we're too far down the road to be playing political ping pong with lives. We got to look out for all lives. You know, we definitely stand behind Black Lives Matter. But in this case of voting, it has to be for everybody. And you just don't think that Georgia was trying to suppress us. It's a lot of folks walking hand in hand with us, neck and neck. So it's going to hurt them too. But they're trying to hurt the bigger group, the ones that's not voting along their party lines. That's what they're looking at. So I look for the governor to say something. You know, it's a lot of shiggity behind him being the Secretary of State, controlling the voting, and you running for governor. Your office. Because if he would not have won, I think he would have been able to take his job back. And that's the problem I have with Texas. If you run for Senate, a certain Senate, if you like the President Bush, he ran for president. Had he not won, he could have continued to be the governor of Texas. Dallas municipality, when Ron Kirk ran for U.S. Senate against John Cronin, Ron had to relinquish his mayoral position here in Dallas. And you're out of luck, because when he did not win, he wasn't the mayor anymore. And then Harold will tell you, we went in a downward spiral after Ron Kirk left. Dallas lost the Cowboys, had them right in their hands. Fair Park fought it off because they wanted to keep the corny dogs. They wanted an interruption with the corny dogs. Those who are close to Dallas, you know what I'm talking about, the fair. But then COVID. See how funny things work? COVID cut it out, but he'll be able to survive. And I'm sure the construction that we see so eloquently erected in Arlington, Texas, could have easily been in downtown Dallas, just south of downtown Dallas. Didn't want them. And look at the impact they brought on Arlington. And now Arlington, Harold, of all things, want public transportation. They realize the amount of money that they could make when people ride the bus. Finally, one of the largest cities in America that does not have public transportation. They always talk about the element will ride through Arlington. Well, if it wasn't Sunday, I'd say, hell, the element driving through Arlington. They got it already there. So now you can move kids through. And if you look at the big picture, they're going to set up some remote parking so Jared can get more people in that stadium. That's all they're setting up. They're going to be in the field down by the airport in Arlington. That's the municipal airport. And do buses like they used to do in Dallas. Dart used to take you from Montgomery Ward's all over Dallas when they were around, taking you to Irving for the football game. So they're trying to make money. They realize that the element already there. What you're trying to prevent? Because there's been a lot of stuff going on in Arlington. Now you got Mansfield down there. So it's a lot to be said for that area. For those who are listening, welcome to the World According to Drew. I'm Andrew Wiggum, live from Studio A this morning. Talking everything this morning. Right now we have Mark on the line from Atlanta. We're talking about the impact of the voting rights, or how about the voting non-rights of people in Georgia, and the impact that has been placed on the city based on Major League Baseball pulling out. So, Mark, earlier, you know, you were talking about the impact of Delta. What else, you know, from your standpoint, what are you seeing has been a I don't even know what you all call yourself. Atlanta native, new native, or we call ourselves Dallasites in Dallas.
Transplant.
Yeah. But what people call themselves from Atlanta? What are they, Atlantians?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Outkast said ATLians. Atlantans, you know, people from Southwest Atlanta used to be kind of a snobbish, cliquish area when I first moved here. But later on, you know, people opened up. Well, the women in particular, because you know, everybody was like, you know, who your daddy was, your mama was, who they worked for, and all that kind of stuff back in the day. But, you know, when all the competition came from other cities around here, you know, they had to kind of open up a little bit. So, you know, this city has changed quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. But see, you all were the Mecca of that southeast corner.
They called Southwest Atlanta the SWATs. Mm-hmm.
The SWATs. Well, I remember that one. But right there where you are in Atlanta, that southeast corner, you know, if we think of it as being, all of us being from Florida, we never considered ourselves being in the South. Now, I know they call it the Dirty South now, but even Dallas or Texans call themselves the Dirty South. But down in Florida, we just said Floridians. We never said we was in the South, even though geographically we know we're there.
No, but only geographically is South Florida Southern, you know. The mentality when the Cubans came, especially in Hialeah and Miami Springs, you know, a lot of the white folks ran. A lot of them ran up here, Georgia, North Carolina. They got the heck out of South Florida.
And right now, South Florida is a melting pot. We do have our pockets, a Liberty City. And they changed the name of Carroll City. A lot of people, you know, it's Miami Gardens now. They had to dress it up. But I got a young man that grew up in Carroll City, played football. Carroll City, pretty much our neighborhoods were more white than black. And then we moved off from city. And the gentleman I met actually played football at Carroll City. He was a white guy. And he finished in the 70s. And he was saying then that this changing, that his folks still have the same house that he grew up in. They still staying, but the neighborhood has changed.
Yeah.
And he is politically correct as he could possibly be. But he was just saying it was just things were changing, but it made him a better person because they didn't know no better. Everybody mixed.
Mm-hmm.
How people are now, no one wants to mix. And so Carroll City, I guess, started getting a different reputation. So they went with Miami Guard. They didn't want the new stadium, old Joe Robbie Stadium, to be located in Carroll City. So let's go with Miami Guard. Oh, that sounds beautiful. But would you say over by Florida Memorial, that's considered, would that have been Carroll City where they are?
No. Carroll City was just that one little smaller section. See, like Miami Gardens and Carroll City were separate. Norland was near Miami Gardens is where Norland is, the high school.
Uh-huh.
You familiar with Norland?
Yes.
And then Carroll City was, west. Carroll City was like west of 27th Avenue.
Okay. You know, you are a Roman reporter. I just know how to get back where I'm getting. How about that when I'm down there? Now I know the streets.
Another funny story was, you know, like my sister in the early 80s when they got married and they moved to Plantation, South Plantation, my mother did not go to her house for years. Because when my mother was growing up, you know, around Fort Lauderdale, you know, they weren't too keen on black people coming over there to South Plantation.
Well, it was a horror story. You put that so eloquently. Let me just say, we wasn't welcome. Unless you was on the other side of the gate. Is that what you're
trying to say? I want to say there were some lynchings over there, you know, some unpublished lynchings over there, you know. But I can't verify that. That was word of mouth. I haven't seen any news on it, but, you know, my mother, she wouldn't go to that house for years.
But just think about Plantation and what it meant to us. We understand. We understand. And let me change gears, because we're going to get back on this, on the Florida-Georgia thing as well. Speaking of plantation mentality, let's transition over to the George Floyd trial. Look, we're going from one country to the next. If you got an opportunity to see the testimony or people on the stand, you know, if they're faking, they show convincingly. I mean, I was looking of the people crying on the stand, had a mixed martial arts guy that he said he understood the dynamics of what they were doing. They were cutting off the windpipe. Of course, and that George Floyd may have had some other things in the system, but other things in the system didn't kill it, or the fact, and I'm just speaking, these are my thoughts, how are you threatened with a guy that's handcuffed, your knee on his head, and your hands in your pocket? I want y'all to look at that next time. He's very comfortable with his hands in the pocket. If the guy was moving or whatever, you would have used the house. I mean, not the house. You would have used the car to kind of keep your balance. And then the 911 dispatcher, who had a camera view of what was going on, said she was going to tell because it was no need of him using that excessive force on a guy that's handcuffed on the ground. Now, it's going to be some mess in Minneapolis if this thing doesn't go the right way. I hate to say that, but all we've ever wanted as African Americans is the truth to be told. How many lives have been lost? How many lives we don't know about have been lost to police brutality? And that's just in Minneapolis. And let me really get you stirred up. How can you hurt somebody at the Capitol and never live to talk about it? Or tell what's going on if you have mental health issues or what? But when you can go in the Capitol a couple of months ago, kill an officer, bum rush the officers, and you live to talk about it.
And don't get you charged with nothing.
Right, to talk about it. This has happened too many times with our brothers and sisters losing their lives. You can go to Colorado and shoot up a supermarket, and they escort you down the street. You can get a traffic ticket and lose your life. Richard Pryor, you know, he was so good at what he did when he was alive. Remember, he talked about officer tips. It's a difference of how you greet them and where you are when you get your ticket. Hello, officer tips. How are you doing today? You know what I'm saying? And when the other times we had to put your hands on the steering wheel. And the love you hate. That was a very good movie to talk about, you know, how you really have to deal with the police officer when you're going. That's why I'm so fearful for our young folks. They talking a lot of smack, but live to see another day. And even you adults, live to do what you have to do to live another day. That's what we have to go through. We have a governor on our life, on our lives. And not governor like over the state, a governor like in your car that can monitor your speed, what you say. We have to do that just to live another day. It's unfortunate. But again, I am just burning up when you have to think about the brother who lost his life, even if he had mental illness. He had a knife. Where's the taser? Where are the baton? Where are the steel? But no, we strike and shoot and kill And I'm honestly, you know what, I can only tell you how I feel. Had it been someone of less color, do you think he would not be here today? Those are the things. And we need to fight. Fight for this equality. And I know it's been an uphill battle for a long time. But the next generation, they must get it better than we have. They must have it in such a position where they're able to do more. But I've always said, and this is my favorite line for me, as much as we think we're moving forward, we're moving backwards every single day. Voter suppression, modern day lynching, no Jim Crow, James Esquire. They dressing up now. Not even Jim Crow anymore. They're dressing up on your job. And, you know, we look at Life, the movie Life. Tell them about the gun line, boss. We got a lot of type folks we work for. They're going to tow the rope from boss. We know this world is not fair, but it doesn't have to be this difficult either. We've been fighting each other in this country for 400 years. Abraham Lincoln lost his life trying to free some slaves. Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, lost their lives trying to help people. Sandra Bland, Castile, Eric Floyd. You name it, they've lost their lives. Had stories to tell, but can never tell them now.
Do you remember the situation in Minneapolis where the lady approached a cop car and she got shot and killed? It was a white lady that approached the car, and it was I don't think the officer was black, but he was non-white. But he got convicted.
Yeah, okay.
Even though it was in a dark alley, he got
again,
convicted.
But again, you know, whenever you turn things over, when you turn things over, meaning that the complexity of the person involved changes the state. Okay. Somebody fixed it. Great. But when things change in such a way, the complexity, then it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you got a brother in D.C. that loses his life. And we know, he was wrong for, he could have stood the trial for killing an officer. But when they have guns, okay, they have machine guns and other things, the first break into the Capitol, they live to talk about it. And I'm going to let you know, in Dallas, they've arrested a lot of people associated with that January 6th fiasco in Washington. FBI is on it. We had a guy's ex-wife in a little town suburb called Grapevine, Texas. His wife, saw him on TV and turned him in.
Wow.
So, again, it's just after the fact. A lot of arrests could have been done that day. But no lives are being lost. But one officer.
I want to see how many people do time.
you know what? Kind of like how many licks does it take to get to the center of a tootsie roll pop? And what is it? How did they end the commercial? The world would never know.
Oh, somebody gonna follow up on that now. Some news agencies, they gonna follow up on it.
I hope so. You know, we
Rachel
always
Maddow will.
You know, we always sugarcoat everything, and we understand where we've been in society. You know, hopefully we've been in a position to access a little bit more than we have in the past. But even with that, it's limitations. It's about 56 minutes after the hour. Welcome to the World According to Drew. I am Andrew William live in Studio A this morning with Hal, who's our roaming reporter this morning, along with Mark, giving us a little insight on what's going on in Atlanta. We talked about the fallout. You have Major League Baseball, which I am a true baseball fan, pulling their All-Star game away from Atlanta. The impact that it will have on the metropolitan area would be great. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. I'm waiting to see. I've not heard from the mayor. At least we have not seen anything public about the mayor's response to it.
Well, you got to understand, the Braves move out of Atlanta, so you know.
Yeah.
They move into Cobb County.
Cobb County. And just on the other side of the perimeter. Just on the other side. So they're making sure they're not in the core of the city. What's that, Cumberland Mall up in Shamley up that way?
Up
general
in Marietta. Uh-huh.
Okay, Marietta.
Oh, Smyrna.
Up in that.
Smyrna, I'm sorry.
So the impact still, you know, you would have had people flying in, which would have been in Atlanta proper. Uber service, just the economy is going to feel a pinch. Some of the black executives, like from American Express, and you all have probably per capita some of the richest black folks in America. You know, what's going to happen at Coca-Cola? Few sales to no All-Star game. And the All-Star game is what, 2 or 3 days? Home run derbies and everything as we try to return back to normal. So it's going to take a heck of an impact on the city. All because...
Well, I'm sure a lot of those restaurants and that shopping area around the stadium that they built, they're going to take a little hit too.
Right. But it's the domino effect. That's what we're looking at. The complete domino effect of the fallout. You know, how about the people who go clean the stadium? I mean, I'm looking at all of them. They're going to miss the crunch. You know, people have to clean up after the facility. They're going to miss their little money that they would have gotten. So, yes, it's definitely a fallout throughout the city. But again, your voting rights. I'm still puzzled. If I brought you something, Mark, if you're in line, I brought you something to eat, I go to jail? Uber Eats? It's a lot of people going to get a fallout with that one.
Mm-hmm.
But you worried about what happened with the last, this is how we can count it. Now, you've been a citizen of Georgia. Were you aware of what they were doing? Legislation?
Oh, yeah.
But didn't it go kind of fast, or had it been, because you know the election just happened in November.
You got to understand, when they wrote that bill and they put it on the floor of the House and the Senate and signed, it was all within the same day. Well, not writing the bill, but after it was written, putting it on the floor in the House and the Senate, and then the governor signing was in the same day. That's unheard of.
You know, I always say there was a microwave society. That's microwave at its best. I've never seen legislation go through that fast, as you mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Nowhere.
The same day? Passed
see,
over
he knows
the Senate signing law.
Stacey's still going to be breathing down his neck, so he know the end is coming. So he ain't going to stop her. When he ran against Stacey, he failed to resign from the post of Secretary of State or from election duties. He didn't even give those duties up, if you remember.
Right.
And in mm-hmm. the process, you know, all the vote the voter roll purges that he orchestrated.
Mm-hmm.
So now they've taken. Not only, you know, they've taken away from the Secretary of State the voting responsibilities. I don't know if you read that, but they took that away. They also said it if they didn't like the results of a local election, like even the city of Atlanta, you know, and you know how close Keisha won her election by 700 votes. If they didn't like that, if they didn't like the results, they can pick their own winner. That's totally undemocratic. You know, the Supreme Court needs to throw that out.
Right. It's unconstitutional as it relates to that. But,
so,
you know we're at a point in our lives or this era that people can't dictate like they used to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can't just say, hey, we're going to put Billy Bob over Gilly or whatever, you know, that those are the type of things that used to happen, and we never expected this in 2021. But here it is. It's like it's, as time moves forward for us in age, the time is moving backwards as it relates to human rights, you know, and everything else associated with it, with voting rights. We're going backwards.
Yeah, if the Democrats ever get real control of the legislative process, they need to, first of all, they need to merge two states, North and South Dakota. They, you know, the only reason they were split up, they even said when those states were created, were so Republicans could have four senators in the Congress, and that was years ago. They need to merge those two states because they Yeah. No, I mean, what do they produce? You know, how do they add to the GDP? You know, this is how they need to they need to distribute, you know, legislative votes based on population and GDP. Because you know those states are totally insignificant.
Well, I mean, I'm sure that I know it's beef up there. And then the Dakotas, you have the Sioux Indians are up there. So they're in a similar
mm-hmm.
situation of Oklahoma. So a lot
Montana,
of
Montana, Wyoming, all that stuff, you know, all that stuff is just land that they own. They probably don't plan on, you know, people don't plan on populating no time soon.
Well, they're just trying to keep, I guess, America as natural as it's ever been in those regions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's quite interesting just how all of that has just transpired here lately. You don't have to be a rocket scientist
mm-hmm.
to see what's going on. And folks, if you don't see what's going on, then I want to sell you some lakefront property in the desert.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you can go for the okie, you can go for the dokie. Okie dokie. I got some.
Yep.
But again, we got a lot of work to do. And sit down with your kids and explain to them what's going on. I think, you know, when we were coming up, there were certain things that adults talked about that we could never hear. And then, but you got some conversation in on certain things. Your kids have access to all these camera phones and these get cell phones. They didn't have access. So this is a good opportunity to have dialogue, see what they're thinking, and we move forward, because they're going to be the ones that are going to take the bull by the horns, the next generation. So we need to make sure that they're equipped with the knowledge and with the history of how we got to this point. Because that was always our segue into a lot of things. When granddaddy told you why he did this or why he didn't do this. Or grandma sit you down, same thing. You need to do this, that, and the other. And we listen. We don't even talk. We got to text it. Don't even text nothing to the kids. Sit them down. Because you may send the text and they tell you they didn't get it. And then they clear it out. So at least if you sit them down, you'll be able to, you'll know that the message got across. Now, how it's received, that's another thing. But at least you know that you've delivered. Because we all were told things. And it was our decision as adults whether to do or not to do. Those are things that we need to always consider. It's about 6 minutes after the hour. You know what? We're doing what we do. Again, don't forget, we have a beautiful ensemble of newspapers and news releases and news portals, starting with My Eye Messenger, which is an online publication that you can get weekly. We have the Texas Metro News, which is weekly, and the Garland Journal, which is biweekly. You can find them online as well. Cheryl Smith is doing an outstanding job. We tell her all the time, but sometimes you need to hear it as well from us, and we're very grateful for her giving us this opportunity to do what we do. We're just so excited. And we'll look at a couple things associated with the paper. Folks, you got to read. You know, it's the whole same old adage. Put it in a book, they'll never know what you're talking about. So we need you all. Get out here and read. Get out here and do some things for the betterment of our country, our status. That's what we need. And we need it fast. Folks, as I always say, this is a portal for you all to get involved. We want to hear what's going on in your lives and how you feel about these issues that we're discussing this morning on this Easter Sunday, April 4th, 2021. This is a great month for me, twofold, kind of bittersweet as well. Both of my parents, 10 years apart, pretty much buried the same weekend. Literally the same weekend. So it's a little lump in my throat this morning, but you know what? I thank them for everything they did for me and our family, my sister and I. And, you know, as we reflect, you wish they could see everything that's going on in your life, the good, bad, and the ugly, because we share it quite a bit. But now to see what the grandkids are doing, I think they would have been quite pleased. But you know what? That's why we carry on the tradition to make sure that they're doing what they need to do in order to get through this crazy world that we live in, dealing with voter suppression, dealing with Black Lives Matter, dealing with vaccines, looking at people of color when they never lived to tell their story. That's why we got to have the dialogue with our young folks. To let them know. You can't beat it. You can't beat it. Tell your friends, get them on, 646-200-0459, again, 646-200-0459. So much is going on, so little time to talk about it. We've talked about the Voters Act of Georgia. Time is going backwards. Major League Baseball
Voting Suppression Act.
suppression, restrictions, downright dirty, down in the dirty South. Isn't that something? Where's Luda when we need him? That's a good song to come out talking about the governor. And even the mayor of Atlanta, even though a lot of that, like you said, with Cobb County, is just speaking out because now it impacted the whole, as we mentioned, the whole metropolitan area of Atlanta. And then your airport, which is one of the busiest airports in the world, sits in Atlanta proper, right in Fulton County, and which is expanding down to, what's the other county, Clayton County. You know, it's good when you go to Atlanta. You see a lot of people that look like me. Delta counties, a few American counties, they understand what's coming through Atlanta. But regardless of who's serving, everybody deserves the best. Atlanta has become the Mecca for a lot of our African-American brothers and sisters. Dallas area is trying to catch up, Mark. A lot of brothers and sisters moving out this way as well. A lot of corporate reloads. But we're making the money, but what are we doing with the money? Are we pooling our resources to make a difference in the lives of people who look like us? You know, we have to put some responsibility and accountability on our folks as well. Let's make a difference. We can be part of Jack and Jill. We can be part of all these organizations. But why can't we pool our resources to make it better for those who are less privileged? That's what we need to do. Yes, we do community service, but I would love for all of us to do something big together to show the unity among the Divine Nine. And not just the Divine Nine, just all. If you want to contribute, it's part of, you know, our culture that we've always had celebrations. But let's do something for the betterment for the brothers that just can't do anything. That's our plea. That's our pledge of doing things. It's about 13 minutes after the hour. Again, welcome to the world according to Drew. Let's switch gears. We always talk about the COVID, and let's get an update on what COVID has done, or where we're going. A lot of people are getting vaccines, which is good. We want everybody to get the vaccine. I know some people are still hesitant, meaning that they're still thinking about the Tuskegee experiment. And you better believe I thought about it too. I really did. But I think about with the work, type of work I do, and not wanting to hurt the family, I go ahead and take the vaccination. I've already completed my cycle of it. And knock on wood, I didn't have any problems. Any problems. Took ibuprofen the first night after everybody was saying something. And, you know, just a little tenderness, but that was it. And then after the second shot, they mentioned that I was going to be extremely sick, and I didn't have any ill effects. So we need to see these numbers come down, do your part, wear your mask. You know, again, some people have gone to great lengths not to even put their mask. And I tell people often, I'd rather have the inconvenience of wearing it and having the difficulty of some breathing when you cannot wear it and don't have to worry about breathing at all. And they look at me crazy. Well, that's the truth. It's your choice how you want to live. I can't tell you what to do, but I'm hoping that you will follow the example that others have set before you. When we look at COVID, we look at some of the worldwide cases of 131 million cases. 2.84 million people have died worldwide. In the United States, we have 30.7 million cases. 554,000 people have died. In the state of Texas, 2.8 million cases. 48,831 deaths in Texas. Dallas County, 292,000 people have tested positive. And among that group, 3,885 deaths. If you have not gotten your vaccine, folks, go get it. You want to be able to see your grandkids. You want them to be able to see you and see other family members. So get your shot. Create your line of defense. Some people are still very leery. I was thinking as a kid or as growing up, we had polio drains. And there was so many, I didn't know what it was. They put it under your tongue, and you thought you were protected from polio. So every so often, we get these pandemics. But we need to do everything and trust the science of it, unlike the previous administration. Follow what they're saying, and they know. And hats off to the Sister Corbett, and it's Kizmisa, I hope I'm pronouncing it right, was one of the spearheads putting it together for the vaccine. They do it. I told you, we can do it in anything. Here's a sister in the forefront of saving all lives. Can you imagine if she had the mentality of what Georgia's trying to do, saying that certain people will only get the vaccine? I'm not going to open it up for everybody. My thoughts, my prayers, my efforts. We've always been good for America. You know, some of you old enough to know Rochester with Jack Benny. Always, well, what we going to do today, Mr. Benny? What you going to do? What we going to do? But what we have done is been on the forefront with this vaccine as far as the infancy stages of putting it together to save lives. Do you think they've given her one credit? We know. They do put her out in the forefront. But we want to thank Pfizer, Moderna, just to name a few, and say, wow, they have great scientists. They do this, but they never want to give her justice. We've done great things, made great contributions to this country. And all we've ever wanted to do is just be recognized for it. A lot of people say, well, I don't need recognition. No, you don't. But we need the world to see what you've done so that we can create a sense of pride within ourselves as well. And when I see her, I think about every scientist I've ever met in life or the hard work that they put in to make a difference. And here this sister is doing great things, trying to save a society. Doesn't get any better than that. It's about 19 minutes after the hour. I see we have some folks on. Want you to, you know, if you got some questions, just come on in, ask the question, and then we'll respond. We represented in Dallas and Atlanta today. So, again, we've talked about a lot of things. Again, happy Easter or happy Resurrection Day to you all. Georgia's, I forgot how Mark said it, Voter Suppression Act, the change with the major leagues, the All-Star Game, Delta and black executives are speaking out. George Floyd trial, you know, again, if you haven't seen the clips, you have dispatchers that wanted to turn in the cop. And again, I'll stand by this. How threatened are you when you're keeping a prisoner, a potential prisoner down with your hands in your pocket? I'm not saying I'm an attorney, but I will tell you this. I could see that he wasn't threatened by George Floyd. Excuse me. That's something to be reckoned with. Another thing we talked about, and if you want to jump in as well, the killing at the Capitol. Mental health may have been the culprit here with the life that was lost. But how can he not talk about what transpired? When you shoot up a bunch of people in a grocery store, you're still around to talk about it. We got to get it together, folks. We've got to get it together. We have to unify enough, at least at the table. It may not ever be leveled, but we should be able to see the level of this and rise up and do what we need to do to get to that status. It's a long road ahead of us, but it needs to be done. It's about 22 minutes after the hour. Mark, anything else going on in Atlanta?
Not really. Only family issues here. You know, I got to see my sisters that I hadn't seen in a year. But to answer your question, no, not really. Are you there?
Well, it's a lot going on in this world, and a lot of things that we don't know about, too, and we just try to bring it to the forefront. But these are some of the things that have really made a difference these last couple of days. We're still having a fallout here in Texas with the weather that happened back in February. Things are warming up. A lot of trees have died, but I have an oak tree that seems like it's coming back. You can tell by how your car looks. But that, Governor Abbott, everything, they're changing gears, trying to keep our minds off what happened with the power grid.
Now, are y'all keeping track of the voting laws that Texas is working on?
Very similar. It seems like the Republican Party, they're going to try to do the same thing. The state Senate has, they went against the last one because they tried to cut down Harris County. If you look at Harris County, Houston being about the fourth largest city in this world, they've annexed, well, in our country, excuse me, they've annexed a lot of different counties in their area, a lot of cities, and they're pretty much all of Harris County. And they may have a few other places just outside. So it's, they tried to do that in Houston. Houston had the ballot boxes. They did not want that. So we're watching them, watching what's going on in Austin. And we're going to see what happens in Washington as well. It might be a state of emergency. A lot of people are still out, and it just ugly raised its head during those times. So we'll see. Abbott open up the state so you can get some money in here right before spring break. Timing is everything.
Does anyone know the process to expedite this stuff to the Supreme Court?
Well, it just depends. It's a Republican rule.
Does it have to go to a... Huh?
Well, it has to get, pretty much when it goes to the Supreme Court on the federal level, it goes, you know, you send it, and then they have to decide whether or not they want to take the case. If they feel that it should be handled on a local or state level, then they won't touch it.
Well, the thing is, does it have to go through the state Supreme Court first, or does it, or then your local, your district courts, federal district courts? I mean, you know, what's the whole process? Because time ain't going to be on nobody's side.
Right. But it goes through the local level, of course, and then the state, which they've already acted on, if any opposition or anything similar to that, then it goes to the Supreme Court or the sub. I call it sub Supreme Court. It goes into federal court, and then if there's no resolve, then they'll take it to the Supreme Court justice. And then once that is done, then it's as high as you can go through the judicial process. So it's going to be interesting with the key players and folks. It's going to be crucial. You think about the last appointee on the Supreme Court. Have they waited? It would be a different crime, but you have to remember they kind of forced her in, or squeezed her in, when they said they would not open up the document. So when you have people on tape just flat out lying, how you gonna believe what they're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. So it remains to be seen. We got a lot going on around here, there, and you know, again, the mayor of Atlanta talks about the impact, financial impact it would have on her city. And we hope we're able to do things. I know it hurts. It hurts. But if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. That is the bottom line. You know, we talk again, Resurrection Sunday, Easter. A lot of people since Ash Wednesday have been in Lent season. And today culminates, I think it's about 2-3 weeks that they do this. So as we go through Easter, early in the broadcast, I talked about the Easter Bunny. How did the Easter Bunny get into it? According to some sources, the Easter Bunny first arrived in America in the 1700s, with German immigrants to southern Pennsylvania transported their tradition of egg-laying hare called Oster Hall, or another name for that. They triggered a nest in which they created, could lay eggs, and they laid their colored eggs. So that grass that we call in these Easter baskets, that's how it came into fruition. And I'll go on lucky. I always wonder how can I know a rabbit may have an egg but they don't lay eggs. They have a live birth as well. So that's one of the origins of the Easter Bunny. All right. So again, 646-200-0459. Whoever hosts the call, chime on in on this Resurrection Sunday. Just press 1 if you have a question or anything of us. I always say it, if I don't know the answer, I still can find it for you. I know we have a couple special folks on the line, which is good. Come on in and join us. Harold, what's going on? I know you are on that road this morning.
I just wanted to interject something real quickly here. y'all can tolerate my road noise for just a second. For those who have a problem with Black Lives Matter and they want to say all lives matter, easily remind them that when they wrote that all men were created equal, we weren't included.
And that we were a fraction of a person when they put the Constitution down. A fraction.
Exactly.
Although we were the original humans.
Right. Very, very valid point. And I always tell y'all, I got in trouble when they talk about Columbus discovered America. I said, how you going to discover something when it's already there? You might have brought it to the New World. So a lot of Native Americans were here. And I used to, and this is a personal story, I used to laugh at a young lady I went to school with. She said she was from either Broken Arrow or Broken Bow. And I thought she was kidding me. Just pulling my leg. Pulling my leg. Then I found out that it actually was a Broken Arrow or Broken Bow. And there are a lot of Black Indians. Some of the Indians, their melanin, as Mark likes to say, was very rich. And you'd be surprised of the people, the Blacks that came out of Oklahoma. So we know the history, but are we getting all of the history? Because I love to say we're just getting his story, and not the real history that this country needs to know. Because we've made great contributions. It's still sitting in the back of the bus. Folks, that's why we have to learn to play the game. Pool your resources. You know, if everybody gets $5, and this $5, it can make $200, or whatever the case may be, and then we build upon that. A lot of nationalities stick together, they fit together. We worried about, if you keep the books open, everybody will see that money. But we just won't do it. We can have a financial wealth as well. We got an uphill battle, folks. An uphill battle. So, Harold, did you have anything else? I know you rolling. As you roll,
that was about it. I know Mark doing a great job. Y'all got it going. I'm listening. I'm getting a couple of texts. I'm getting a couple of text input. So we sparking some minds this morning.
Okay. Well, make sure you get it so we can discuss those who are texting you, and we can put that into play. Because we want this to be a platform where everybody can say something. Oftentimes, you know, you don't have a platform to get things out, but we want you to be very comfortable with the platform to say what you need to say. And, you know, we can talk about it. We don't have a dialogue like we used to back in the neighborhood. Everybody sat around with your grandparents. They sit up and talk trash, but they discuss things that were going on. Yeah, we have not done that in a while, you know, with this generation of just sitting down and talking about everything, you know, giving your opinion, and that's good. But we just don't follow through in such a way. Finding out if what's affecting our neighborhood, our race. Sometimes we act like we're afraid to even talk about it. If you need a reminder of what you need to focus on, stick your arm out in front of you and tell me what you see. I know I'm far from a red bone, but I do have some red bone tendencies when you turn my arm on the other side. I know that I got a couple of chuckles right there, but it is what it is.
You tempted me. You tempted me, but I ain't going to say nothing.
Yeah, you appreciate it because you know the sound, right?
Yeah, I do. I know you'll mute me out. But I was gonna sing my Drake song for you. You know,
Sunday morning.
You know, he say he light skinned, but he's still a dark. He doggy. He said he light skinned, but he still act like a dark one.
Okay, I got you. I'm on.
They still trying to separate us, Andrew. House and field, you know that, man.
Oh, absolutely.
But I know somebody like you. You made your way to the porch at least.
You know, I would have talked even with my complexion. I think I would have talked. I would have got over to the porch. I would have worked my way right.
At least got to the porch. Yeah, you'd at least got to the porch. I know this for a fact.
Look and be able to look in the window.
Yeah, and then once you got to the window, it was on and popping then.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I would say I wanted to know if his ice was colder than my ice.
Right. You were going to find out.
Week, look, I told you last week they all freeze at 32. So they're about to cold, but the same temperature.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's how we've always done.
Yeah, they always thought Mr. Gilmore ice was just a little bit colder. Pies was a little sweeter. You know, white pies always trying to be a little sweeter.
Right.
You know.
But I tell you, folks, it's been like that for a long time. A long time. You know, if you get a chance, I always say read our papers. Marvin John, remember we reported that he got a street name after him. I think the mayor was that group that was responsible for that. We thank you. Got a street name in which he lived on, killed on. We thank that committee for doing that. Phil also talks about 9 minutes. In 29 seconds, we all seen that trial unfold.
Yeah. Well, I heard somebody say something real interesting this morning that this trial is wasting a lot of tax money.
Mm-hmm.
And they could have just played the tape. And told the jury to deliberate.
I'm back. Did y'all call my name? I was handling a phone call.
A couple of
no,
times.
No, we didn't call you.
A couple of times.
Yeah. But, hell, you're right. Some people feel that way. I think we need to really look at things a little differently. You know, sometimes the world, I don't think we'll get better unless we have discussion. Some people may have the discussion, but that's where it stays. It doesn't. We don't make it into fruition. Oftentimes, when we have race conversation. Oh yeah, we're very
right.
much interested in quality. But you know, are you practicing what you preach?
Right.
Are we practicing? Those are things that we need to look at. You know, as we look on this date as well, April 4th, it also was the day that Dr. King was assassinated in Memphis, Tennessee. And when we reflect on that, you know, he was down there for a strike of the garbage or sanitation workers there in Memphis. And even the night before he gave that famous speech prior to his death, he was in his bed just resting, and people had gathered at the Church of God in Christ and wanted him to come in and gave what was his last sermon. So this date is so significant to African Americans, and And if you ever get a chance, I tell people, go to the National Civil Rights Museum that's there in Memphis, Tennessee, the Lane Motel, and just check it out. It's a lot going on in that. But, hell, you know we have a heck of a lineup, and just trying to get people on board with us. John Nicole's show comes on Tuesdays, 11 to 1. And it's good to see, because I know she was 11:30. Dr. Shepherd, Dr. Shep, as they call Speak Show, is on as well. So you can find us, Norma Adams Wade, Marva, I mean the whole lineup. So, you know, we all bring something different to the table, but the thing is just getting the information out. That's what we need. The ladies of Delta Sigma Theta Arlington alumni presents Financially Free with DST, and that's going to be on April 8th, which is another significant day, my mother's birthday, and also, I'll never forget, 1974, when Hey Heron hit that home run on that particular day, the 715th home run. So a lot is going on. Great month, April. I got a day coming up. A lot of people hate to see my birthday come up, but I love that April 15th. I love it. Can't do anything about it. I love it. So we doing great things.
I think they extended that another month this year.
Okay.
Tax deadline.
But you know what? But when you hear April. But when you hear April 15th, you kind of cringe. That's what I like. Great day. Great day to be American on that particular day. So, folks, it's a lot. No excuse for what's going on. We just need to read, find out what's going on. Understand exactly what it is to live in this country. And share, if you have any knowledge that can make our lives easier and better, please share it with somebody. Financial freedom, like Cheryl's doing with the press, giving us avenues to be able to do things, get information from one end to another. I still think back in the day when we didn't have all the fancy conveniences of computers and phones, people got the message. You hear me? I'm still trying to figure out how Harriet Tubman people found out about moving on that Underground Railroad. Singing songs. Doing whatever they're doing. Having the help. She couldn't have done it by herself. But can you imagine the wife that helped her, that allowed her to come and use their facilities to migrate people from the south to the north, and even up to Toronto. Can you imagine what they would have gone through had people found out that they were helping us? I tell you, this place would be a better place if we all worked together. And who would have thought in 2021 how powerful the words of Roger King, can we just all get along? Who would have thought it? And that's what we need to do. Because I always feel if we don't cooperate with one another, other countries are going to infiltrate us and break us down even more. Even more. It's about 45 minutes after y'all. Welcome to the World According to Drew. I'm with them live. Studio A this morning. A lot going on. World of Sports. Final four, down to two. The ladies play tonight. Connecticut got bumped off. Now it's going to be Arizona, who bumped them off, will be playing Stanford. And notice, too, I was trying to figure it out. Russell Wilson, they played for Seahawks of Seattle. Little sister plays guard, Wilson, number three. Actually, she's very good playing. So, again, let's support the ladies. I know they're great athletes. And I know a lot of focus is placed on the gentlemen. But if you get an opportunity today, check them out.
Yeah, Baylor looked real good, man. Houston just didn't have an answer for them. It was a real good game. It was so good to see two old Southwest Conference teams going at it for a chance to get into the finals. But Baylor was just a little bit too much for them.
Right. But, hell, it's interesting that you say that. Most of these kids were not even born when they had the old Southwest Conference.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, Baylor pretty much went through almost similar to a death sentence when they had all them issues, you know, with the basketball team down there with the allegations and actual real crimes that were committed, you know. So be able to survive and thrive was kind of interesting to see as well.
Oh, yeah. And it's good for the
UCLA took Gonzaga to the last second in overtime.
Yeah.
So it's going to be some good basketball, man, between
tonight,
you know, with the girls and tomorrow with the young men.
Correct. Well, I tell you, there's a lot of things in there. I want to thank the people of Frisco at the Rough Rider Stadium. Last weekend they had the Southern University Jaguars baseball team and the Pine Bluff, Arkansas baseball team. Hopefully, hell, and I say this, that we can get FAMU, now that we're in the SWAC, get them to come out and participate. Beautiful ballpark. And hopefully some of the restrictions will be lifted, but still wear your mask. And we can have a Diamond Classic out of Frisco as well. Beautiful landscape, the backdrop, the hotel, Embassy Suites right in center field. Something to work with, boys. Something to work with. So it's a lot going on. Folks, again, read your African American newspapers no matter where you are. Again, we have the My iMessenger, which is an online publication that you can get weekly. The Texas Metro News is weekly as well that you can get online as well as a hard copy. We're starting to get the circulation back out as the country, or should I say, as Texas opens up. And then you have the Garland Journal, which is a biweekly. No excuse for the news. As Vincent Hall would say, you better quit playing. Stop playing. Just read. You'll be surprised what you'll find out when you read. As we bring things down with about 11 minutes left, Harold, I need you to say your Easter speech. Mark, get ready. I can imagine what you had to say at your church. But, Harold, give us the last one of it. Your Easter speech as we try to wind it down.
Oh, man. I forgot what I came to say, but I wish everybody a happy Easter day.
That boy gonna be a genius. Well, I know they were clapping. That's Lil Hal said it's deep. All right, Mark.
Ditto what Harold said. Happy Easter Day.
Yeah, but as we bring things down again, 10 minutes left.
And fight for our voting rights.
Okay. Well, that's all a part. You know, every day we're fighting for something. And I always said, until the day I The only day I'm going to get some rest is when I'm not on this earth anymore, and I'm going to try to make a difference in the lives of the people that I come in contact with, whether it's, you know, professionally or personally. That's always been my personal pledge to society, just trying to make a difference. And I know that life is throwing us a curveball all the time, but you know what? I love baseball so much, and I use baseball in my way of thinking. And you throw your curveball, you sit back and you wait for it to break. And then that's when you jump on it. So then a lot of people may not hit you straight. And they may throw something, a little junk up there. But we all have the power to make a change. You can change your life. You can change the people around you. And then we're looking for the betterment of all. That's going to take some collaboration between others. We are brothers and sisters that stretch from sea to shining sea. And we need to get things in perspective so that our kids will have a better go at it than we did. Because I'm sure we've done a lot more than what our parents may have been able to do or the generations before them. And we have access. You know, it wasn't saying if you had to go to the library. If you have young kids, if you get the opportunity, take them to the library, at least show them how it used to be. You know, again, how can you move forward when you don't know where you've been? Half our kids don't even know how to use the card catalog, Dewey Decimal System. And I know they have smartphones. They actually make them dumber.
Oh, read a clock with hands.
Yeah, but they try not to learn. But they always say, I got it. I can always get to it. But nephews, the extended family, if you're able to put your hands on kids, not hands, but hands of being with them, ask them questions about what they're doing work-wise. Get them to engage in conversation, because that could be a lesson within itself. So it's so many things that we can do that we need to do. So many things we need to do, but we got to do it. That next generation is going to be tough for them. Some kids are kind of lost, don't know which direction, but we try to give them direction through a conversation. And hopefully I'm going to talk with Cheryl and see if we can have a teen summit so that we can talk to these kids and give them ideas. So we too have passed that route. And if we can give them any insight or build self-esteem, which a lot of kids need today, that we can make a difference in their lives. And that's what we really need to do. So I know Cheryl's on. Let's see if we can get something together. Right now everything is Zoom. We can do Zoom, start with Zoom, and then eventually get in, you know, in person with these kids so that we can have some interaction with them. Because I want to leave this earth knowing that at least we're in good hands for the next generation. Because it's tough out there. Even when you have a teaspoon of knowledge, you're always being tested. And I'll say this, I'll put this on the record. We expect that from your boss. But sometimes the hardest boss to follow is one that looks like you. That's how I feel. You try to do everything right, but then again, you never get a chance to show what you have to offer. As they say in the presidential election, I'm Andrew Wiggum, and I support my best. So, gentlemen, as we wind things down, just to recap our audience, and thank you for being a part of it. We still got about 5 minutes to go on this Resurrection Day. We talked about voter suppression in Georgia, the fallout from Major League Baseball, Delta Airlines, and the black executives that live in the metropolitan Atlanta area. Even the mayor, I have on ESPN a little ticker tape, was talking about the impact the mayor of Atlanta, the impact of Major League pulling out, how it's trickling down throughout the metropolitan Atlanta area. George Floyd. Testimony. People on the stand crying. Video, unseen video is coming out. Now, if it's showing that the young man was not threatened, and this is the gentleman that's on trial, was not threatening, was not being threatened with a knee on George Floyd's neck and hands in the pocket. Some of those nonverbal things that we need to see. You understand what I'm saying? You can see there's no fight. He may have been dead at the point, but when he yelling for mama and things of that nature, that changed the ball game for me. Over $20, fake $20 bill. You know how many people go to jail or potentially go to jail for stealing millions? $20. $20. Why just, okay, hey, sir, you have a camera, you have this bill that's not real. You know, yeah, you can call the authorities and you don't want to address it. That I do understand. But a $20 bill, that we, a fake $20 bill, can make you lose your life. We didn't look at it like that, the perspective of it. Unbelievable. We have to get things going. We have our brother Eric on right quick as we close. Sorry, I just kind of saw you on there. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing today? How you good brothers doing today?
Good, good. How are you, sir?
All right. Yeah, I saw an interesting documentary. It was an old one, too, in terms of how in Georgia, how blacks had got involved in the forestry industry, and they had been chopping down acres of forest land and to take to the various markets to sell their lumber. And in South Carolina, at one time, there was like in Orangeburg, there was like 4 black-owned lumber yards. So that just lets us know some of the things that our ancestors were doing in terms of taking care of the lumber, creating lumber yards. And then a lot of people use that lumber to create financial wealth for their generation and future generations. So it's interesting some of the things that our people have been doing, you know.
Right. Right. And that's something, you know, we might address a little bit later, as we come to a close. I'll put that, and we're really going to set that going forward, because there are a lot of, a lot of things that we've been confronted with. But I want to thank you, gentlemen. You always make my morning. And as we wind things down, again, thank you so very much for being a part of the World According to Drew. Mark, Harold, Eric, that's what we do. And we appreciate it. We appreciate everything. As we wind things down, the Roman Porter, thank you as always. Be safe on that road getting back. And always remember that you can make a difference in the world if you step up and speak up. I'm out. See you next week. As always, peace.